Hey there, I want to take a quick second to thank you for listening to the Focus Point podcast. I hope that you find a blessing and encouragement through this episode. I hope that you'll share the episode with your family and your friends. If this is one of your first times catching us, or if you want to find out more about us, or if you want to listen to other episodes, please visit thepointoffocus.com, and there you will find our podcast archive as well as more information. Once again, that's thepointoffocus.com, and once again, I thank you for listening to this episode. Well, if you have a copy of the Bible, whether it's paper or electronic, we are going to be in Joshua chapter 2. So go ahead and get it open to that chapter as we continue on in our series in the book of Joshua called Strong. Once again, that's Joshua chapter 2. And we are in the home stretch of this Journey to the Promised Land series, where we've been kind of focusing on this journey that the Israelites are doing to the Promised Land. And we're applying it to our own life as we kind of look through the different steps they take, or the steps back they take, or whatever, as we journey toward our goals, our plans, our dreams, our Promised Lands, if you will. And so we are journeying together through the first six books of the Old Testament, and we are finally, as I said, in the home stretch here in this book of Joshua. So last week we introduced a new theme, and it's strong and courageous faith. So we've been kind of looking at this idea of faith as it's been interwoven throughout our different themes that we've had since the beginning of the year with these series in these different books of the Old Testament. And we just finished up the book of Exodus, and that one was continued faith. And so we saw how they did and they didn't do that, they being Israel. And now we are in this strong and courageous faith, right? We saw last week there was two things that God wanted Joshua, Israel, and even us to be, and that's strong and courageous. And I didn't mean to do this, but as I've been looking at the next few chapters of the book of Joshua, I kind of attached to this idea of things that God wants us to be. And I know that's not even, but it's kind of like a sub idea here. We're still going for strong, right? God wants us to be strong. And so, but this idea of be, there's something in chapter 2, and in the next few chapters that there's something that God wants us to be. And so we're going to pull that out, and we're going to dive into that a little bit today for chapter 2. And then chapters 3 and 4, and then chapters 5 and 6 is kind of where we're going here for the next couple of episodes. But we're also going to meet a lady by the name of Rahab in this chapter of Joshua. And so we're going to talk about all of that. We will talk about Rahab, but we're just kind of going to read the text that we have, and then we'll kind of unpack it and we'll talk about it a little bit. So Joshua chapter 2, verse 1, it says, "Then Joshua secretly sent two spies from the Israelite camp. He instructed them, 'Scout out the land on the other side of the Jordan, especially around Jericho.' So the two men went out and came to the house of a prostitute named Rahab and stayed there that night. But someone told the king of Jericho, 'Some Israelites have come here tonight to spy out the land.' So the king of Jericho sent orders to Rahab, 'Bring out the men who have come into your house, for they have come here to spy out the whole land.' Rahab had hidden the two men as she replied, Rahab had hidden the two men, but she replied, 'Yes, the men were here earlier, but I don't know where they went. They left the town at dusk as the gates were about to close. I don't know where they went. If you hurry, you can probably catch them.'" Actually, she had hidden them. She had taken them to the roof and hidden them beneath some bundles of flax she had laid out. So the king's men went looking for them. So the king's men went looking for the spies along the road leading to the shallow crossings of the Jordan River. As soon as the king's men had left, the gates of Jericho were shut." So now we're kind of setting the scene here, and this kind of like this idea, what's kind of going on, right? Like, once again, we're kind of talking about this idea of God using deception. And we talked about that a little bit with Isaac and Jacob and Esau in that story, how it seems like God honored deception there, but really God was just honoring what he wanted to do. And in the same way, I kind of see this here, that God was protecting the spies. He was using Rahab to protect these people that were coming in, and they were just doing what Joshua had asked, and thereby therefore doing what God had wanted them to do. And so this is kind of like the same kind of idea. It also has been compared to the event of Moses, where Rahab here is saying, hey, no, they left. They were here, but they left, and all of that. Kind of like when Moses' mother hid him in the basket. So we're kind of seeing this kind of callback to these kind of two events. And I believe that God is supreme, and he's doing what he will to keep these people safe. And like I said, it's tough to get around this kind of stuff, and sometimes I choose to not even draw it out, but it's clearly there. Like, it's clearly God using lying and deception here to hide these spies, but in reality they're doing what God asked. And I know that's kind of like, but that's what I believe God is saying here. And I know it's kind of hard to wrap. So if I just do what God asked me to, then I can lie and deceive people. No, that's not the case. It's God's protecting his people. And just like he was protecting the promise that he had for Abraham by giving Isaac giving Jacob the blessing instead of Esau, he was keeping his word. And so now we are talking about this idea of the same kind of thing. But it's also kind of like when she hides Moses, when Moses' mother hides him as well. This idea of kind of being hidden. So then this is important, though. This next part, I like this next scene that happens here, and it shows that not only God used her to see, God used her to help save these people, but her doing that also helped her realize who God was, and we're going to see that right now. Before the spies went to sleep that night, Rahab went up on the roof to talk to them. "I know the Lord has given you this land," she told them. "We are all afraid of you. Everyone living in the land is living in terror. For we have heard how the Lord made a dry path for you in the Red Sea when you left Egypt. And we know that you did, and we know what you did to the two Amorite kings east of the Jordan River, whose people you completely destroyed. No wonder our hearts have melted in fear. No one has the courage to fight after hearing such things. For the Lord your God is supreme God of the heavens and heavens above and the earth below." Sorry, I'm having a little bit of trouble reading today. And she goes on, "Now swear to me by the Lord that you will be kind to me and my family since I have helped you. Give me some guarantee that when Jericho is conquered, you will let me live along with my father and mother, my brothers and sisters, and all their families. We offer our own lives as a guarantee for your safety," the men agreed. "But don't betray us, and we will keep your promise. We will keep our promise and be kind to you when the Lord gives us this land." Then, since Rahab's house was built into a wall, she helped them down by a rope through the window. "Escape to the hills country," she told them. "Hide there for 3 days from the men searching for you. Then when they have returned, you can go on your way." Before they left, the men told her, "We are bound by this oath we have taken only if you follow these instructions." So once again, we're kind of seeing these instructions thing, how God operates by instructions. And this is a good callback too that we're going to talk about. But it says, "When we come into the land, you must leave a scarlet rope hanging from the window through which you let us down. all of your family members, your father, your mother, your brothers, your sisters, all your relatives must be here in the house. If they go out into the street and are killed, it will not be our fault. But if anyone lays a hand on the people inside this house, we will accept responsibility for their death. If you betray us, however, we are not bound by this oath in any way. She then says, I accept these terms. And she sent them on their way, leaving a scarlet rope hanging from the window. The spies went up into the hill country and stayed there for 3 days. The men who were chasing after them searched everywhere along the road, but finally returned without success. The two spies came down from the hill country, crossed the Jordan River, and reported to Joshua all that had happened. The Lord has given us this whole land, they said, for all the people in the land are terrified of us. Now, I want to talk about a couple things, okay? First of all, is Rahab here, this scarlet rope thing, is kind of like a call, once again, kind of like a callback to Passover, where God gave explicit instructions, this is what you're to do, and your family will be kept safe. And that's what Rahab was being told to do. This scarlet rope being hung from the window is important because, not because of the color, but even though the color has been kind of compared to the blood of Jesus. And that's why some people call it back to, well, that's what they did with the blood of the Lamb. Once again, symbolizing Jesus in kind of like a cross format on the door frames. And this is what that instruction was. Put that blood on the door and your house will be saved. If you don't, firstborn in your house will die, right? We learned about that in Exodus 12. And now fast forward here in Joshua 2, the same kind of thing is happening as they're saying, hey, everybody must be in this house. If they're outside the house when we come and the city is conquered and they die, that's not on us. But if somebody breaks into your house and kills your family, any part of your family, then we'll accept that responsibility. But you must have that scarlet rope hanging in the window in order to be saved. So that is the importance of this scarlet rope, because it symbolizes this following instructions, just like Israel had to do when they did Passover. And she had tremendous faith here, right? And we're going to talk about that in just a second. But she said, despite her faith, despite her desire, despite all the promises that the spies would get, despite her trust in Jesus and trusting God and all of that, without that scarlet cord, she wouldn't have been saved. Without following the instructions, she would not have been spared when Jericho was conquered. There's a lot of foreshadowing here, right? So I want to bring out that, though, that we follow God's instructions. Once again, it's being said, just like we talked about last week a little bit, when Joshua gives his first speech and he says, study this book of instruction continually, meditate on it, so you will are sure to obey everything written in it. That's Joshua 1:8. And so when you see this now, it's kind of like the same thing. Following God's instruction is important and it's key. And Israel has struggled with that over their time in the wilderness and over their time under Moses. But it seems kind of like now they're going to be a part of that. They're going to follow God's instructions. They're going to stay close to God under Joshua. And so that's kind of what this all symbolizes here is, once again, it's important for us to follow God's instructions. God tells us how to do things. Like, it's so key and it's so important that we understand that God does tell us how to do things. And so there's one other thing about Rahab, but I want to save that for the end. I want to bring out right now, though, this idea that ended the chapter, the very last thing that we read. It says, the Lord has given us this whole land, and this is verse 24, for the people of Israel in the land are terrified of us. The enemy, okay, the enemy being the devil, okay, for our life, but right now the enemy being Jericho fears Israel because God is with them. That is such an important thing for us to take with us throughout our life. throughout what we do, throughout where we go, every step we take, every move we make, God is with us, and people are terrified of that sometimes. We have that kind of power walking with us. They had heard all of the things that had happened to Israel. The people of Jericho had heard all of these things that God had done. And now they were living in fear of Israel. And that's exactly what happens, is we have that kind of power in us, that we can be fearless with God because God is there with us. And I wanted to say this too. It says that the enemy fears any move of God and he tries to shut him down. The Israelite spies were going to be shut down by the king's officials. They were going to try and shut this down, try to shut down this move of Israel, this move of God, right? Same thing happens in our own life. If we're on track and we're doing what God wants us to do, it only gets harder because the devil tries harder to shut us down. The devil messes with our heads and our hearts, and he tries to get us to take steps back away from what God is calling us. He tries to get us to make the choices that don't help us reach our promised land. He's done that throughout Israel. Some of the stuff like that we see Israel do, it's just kind of like the enemy working at them, and they lose the promised land at one point. And it's just like the enemy just trying to take them out, trying to keep them from doing what he wants them to do. It does the same thing to us. He tries to make us feel like we're not good enough. He tries to make us feel like we're not qualified. He tries to make us think that we can't do it. He tries to make us think that we just don't have what it takes. All of these different things that we hear that are not coming from God. It's the enemy trying to get us off track. He uses fears and lies and pressure and temptation, the unexpected changes in life, and all sorts of things. Many, many other things that he uses to get us off track. He knows he doesn't win, but he tries to take us out. He tries to keep us at bay as best as we can. As best as he can, sorry. God is on our side, though, and we are unstoppable. Because as we learned in Exodus, when they crossed the Red Sea, these same people, when they crossed the Red Sea, it said God is fighting for us. And we can have great victory in and through him when it comes to the battles of life. We can essentially live fearless because we know that God's got our back. We know that God's with us. And if we continue to go with him, if we continue to include him in our life, he is helpful and he is unstoppable. And so are we. God wins in the end, in case you didn't know. And this whole thing here is, you could even say that about Jericho, is Israel already knew that they were going to win. Jericho already knew that they were going to win. The people had already figured it out. And so by doing that, God has given them the land. He said that. So that's important. That's, I think, what God wanted us to hear out of this, is that as we continue to go on our journeys and we continue to go on our steps toward our promised lands, toward our dreams, toward our goals, that God is there with us and we can be unstoppable. We can live fearless because of the things that God has for us, because that God will step in and fight for us. But I also want to point out one other thing here about Rahab. Is Rahab's salvation isn't just because she was going to be saved from the captivity. Saved from the conquering of Jericho. Her salvation came because she realized who God was. And she knew who God was and she expressed it. We see that in verse 9, where it says, "The Lord has given you this land and we are all afraid of you." She knew who God was. She knew what had happened. And at that moment, she was not only saved that, but she was saved that way. She was saved from, she was saved because she realized who God was. And she realized who she realized here in verse 12, "Now swear to me by the Lord that you will be kind to me." So she knew who God was. She knew that God was going to be the one to save her. Not the people, but that they were doing what God wanted them to do. And so once again, I bring this up and I encourage you to think about it. Like, God is calling to you as well. And it's just as simple as this, as Rahab was saved because she expressed this faith. And as we've been talking about that, that's what it is. It's not a strong faith, and it wasn't a perfect faith, but it was faith nonetheless. It was faith that she was going to be saved by God. And that she wasn't saved by her works, but she was saved by faith. She knew who God was, she knew who she was, and she trusted in God with her life. And I encourage you, if you haven't done that, we've talked about this before on the podcast, and it's simple. If you haven't put your life in God's hands, if you don't know what it's like to be able to live fearless because God is on your side, I encourage you to do that in this moment. I encourage you to take some time and follow these instructions, because it's simple. I call you to the book of Romans as I go there here. If you want to follow with me, we're going to go to Romans chapter 10, and we are going to be in verse 9. And this is the simple way of it, just like Rahab did. If you openly declare, it says in verse 9, if you openly declare that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. If you put your trust and your faith in God, because that's what it is. That is a statement of faith. It says there that it is, for it is believing in your heart that you are made right with God, and it's by openly declaring your faith that you are saved. That is what Rahab did. She opened up her trust and her faith, and she believed in God. She believed that she would be saved by God. And that is all it takes. So it's simple. It's right there. So all you have to do is just say with me that, God, I believe that you are who you say you are. I believe that you raised Jesus from the dead. I believe that Jesus is my Lord and Savior, the only way to heaven. I believe that he did what he did. I believe that he died for my sins. I believe that he rose from the dead. And I put my full faith and trust in you, and I give you my life. That's all it takes. It says in verse 13, for everybody who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. So once again, it's right there. If you just pray that text, if you just pray verses Romans 10, 9 and 10 and 13, if you just pray those, God will save you. It's simple as that. I know sometimes it gets complicated, and you got to do this and do this and jump through all these hoops, and you don't. It's simply saying, just like Rahab did. It wasn't like this powerful way of doing it, but it's simply, hey, I know who is helping you. I know that we are going to conquer this land, and I know that he can save me. It's putting faith and trust in God. So once again, Romans 10, 9 and 10 and 13 will save you. That's all you have to do. You have to declare that you messed up, that you're in need of a Savior, and that Jesus is that Savior because he died for you, he rose again for you, and he loves you to death. And that you trust him with your life, and that you put your faith in him. That's what it takes. So I encourage you to do that. If you didn't do it with me when we kind of did it just then, if you want to go back and do it again, I encourage you to do that. And if you did pray that prayer, if you did do that, then I encourage you to find a local church to plug into. Don't do this walk alone. But I encourage you to do that if you prayed it. I encourage you to do it if you won't, because God wants us to live fearless. There is power in the name of Jesus. There's power there. We have great power because Jesus is in our lives. And just like we've said in the book of Exodus 14:14, God will fight for us. God fights for his children. So I encourage you to stay plugged in to a local church. Get plugged into a local church. Keep listening to this podcast. Whatever it takes to keep you going toward the way of Jesus. I encourage you to do that so you can live fearless. Because it's great to know that somebody bigger than the world is on your side. And that's what Rahab knew. That's what Israel has started to know as we go through this journey as they go to conquer Jericho. Right now they're on a journey to Jericho. And they know that God is with them. And they know that God is on their side. And even he gives them a couple reminders just in case they forgot. And we're going to look at those next week. So I hope this word encouraged you. I hope it blessed you. And I hope to see you next week.